Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Here on a very, very soggy East Coast. Thank you so much again for tuning into another show of At Home with Victoria. I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for this evening. The lovely news lady Victoria will not be joining us, unfortunately. She was up late doing another show on 89.5 FM in Washington, D.C. Thought she'd be back in time, but didn't quite make it. But she sends her love, and drive carefully, Vic. However, tonight, we have a great show lined up. You may have seen him on Fox's Altísima's network, Hogar Express, from the show Hogar Express, and also from Nuevo TV's Model Latina Vegas. TV host and sexy funny man Alex Cambert starts us off, and he's been here before, and he likes to give us a little bit of the inside Hollywood dish, so we're going to go ahead and pick his brain. Then a little later, we'll be talking with a member of Nashville royalty, Corey Frizzell, boxer turned artist, now managing some of Nashville's hottest talent. We're also going to hear some new music from past guests, Scott Carey and Tara Priest. So let's get this party started. A good friend of mine, Michael Taylor Gray from prettytheseries.com, had introduced me to our first guest. He's funny, he is tall, he is sexy. He is Mr. Alex Cambert. Hola, ¿cómo estás, mi amigo?
I'm very well. By the way, I will never again, you know I love you, right? You know this, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, don't ever, ever pronounce the Spanish names of my show again. Ever.
Okay.
I will shoot you. The network will shoot you. We will find you. This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when a white guy valiantly tries to pronounce the names of the network. I give you an A for effort.
Let me try again.
Oh, you really want to try again? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to
Hogar Express.
I'm sorry?
Hogar Express.
Very good. The H is silent, and you did it right this time. Ding, ding, ding. You win $50 on Wheel of Latino. Thank you for playing. Yay.
Buddy, it's so nice to have you back on the show. You've been a very busy man, lots of stuff going on. Before we get into that, let's just cover a little bit of the background for those who don't know you very well. You're a lovely Jewish man, is that correct?
Not that I know of. No, I'm not. who are you talking to? I don't know. What are you talking about?
Jerry Seinfeld? What?
What? What are you talking about? I don't know. I don't get it. You don't call. You don't write. No, I'm not Jewish. Everyone thinks I am.
You're so funny.
I'm not. I'm a tall Roman Catholic Cuban who looks like Seinfeld.
Yes. Yes, you are. Big family, little family?
That sounds like a bad miniseries on ABC starring Richard Chamberlain. Welcome back to Big Family, Little Family. I come from a relatively small family. A relatively small family. It's really me and my sister who were like frickin' frack. And, you know, my parents were divorced when I was really little. So, you know, my sister has been with me throughout everything. So it's really me and my sister are the closest. I have another brother and a sister from my father's second marriage, and I'm really close to my brother as well. But it's a relatively small family. We buck the Latino trend.
Right. How did you end up winding up in television? What were your what was your big goal? Were you going to be a doctor and couldn't make it, or?
Exactly, that was it. I was going to be an OBGYN, and I said, you know what, screw that, I'll do comedy. No, I was like, hello, I am Alex, at your cervix. No, that was not, thank you, ba-dum-bum. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, here be here all week. By the way, this is what happens. This is what happens when you have too much diet soda. The caffeine, I'm hopped up. What it was, interestingly enough, you know, I'm the son of an immigrant, of immigrant parents. I'm first generation here in this country, and I think as the firstborn, there's a lot of pressure on you. I'm the first one to go away to college, go to school. I went to a great school in the Midwest called Carleton College, if anybody knows it. Woohoo! Word up to Carleton! Great liberal arts school. And I got into Columbia Law, and you know what? I decided that wasn't for me. It was going to be my parents' dream. So there comes a point where you say, yo, thank you for my parents and everything that they sacrificed to get to this country, but you have to pursue your own thing. So I decided to sort of do comedy because I found improv comedy in college, and I've honestly never regretted it. I've made a living at it pretty much my whole adult life. I've never had another job, and I've been fortunate. Like you said, I've been everywhere. I was an entertainment reporter for Good Morning America for a couple of years. I've been many times on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I've been on Jimmy Kimmel. I was on Animal Planet for a couple of seasons. And then I've done all the stuff in Spanish TV, all the stuff on Telemundo. Do you want to take a crack at Telemundo? You can say Telemundo.
Telemundo.
Thank you very much. Ding, 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 ding. He's up to 150 points, ladies and gentlemen, on Wheel of Latino.
See, and again, your game show network experience is showing right now, my friend. I caught you a lot of the time on the game show network because that's how pathetic I can get on a Saturday. You know what I mean?
I was going to say that's very lonely. I think that. Do you need to discuss this, Michael?
I know it sounds sad, really, when I think about it.
I know. I was like, please don't ever say that again on radio to a national audience. You know what? I've also done game shows in Spanish. You don't know this because I don't think we've ever discussed this. I did the Spanish version of the Newlywed Game.
Really?
Yes.
I did not.
I was like the Bob Eubanks. And it was funny because Sony had bought Telemundo at one point, and Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays, they shot Bob Eubanks' version. And then on the same set, I would come in Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and shoot our version, which was called Los Recién Casados, which is literally the Newlyweds. And you know how you have Making Whoopi in Spanish? It was the Cuchi Cuchi. The Making Whoopi's in English, and we would say El Cuchi Cuchi. Funny story. So I told you Sony had bought Telemundo, and they were doing this game show in English, the Newlywed Game. So they tried to use a lot of the same people and staff. But sometimes you get into problems because the way you would do it for American TV might not be the way you do it for Spanish TV and international. Well, we were located in L.A., and think of the Latino population in L.A. And just put that in your mind for a second. Well, we were giving away. I realized no one wanted to win our game show. You know, it was a brand-new game show, and I was like, why is it that everyone is – it seems like they're missing the final question on purpose. I would ask, how many times have you made love to your wife this week? And they would say, gato. And I'm like, cat? That doesn't make sense. Why? No one seems to want to win. And then I realized one day when I heard the prize that we were giving. We were giving a trip to Mexico. The last thing you want to give to Mexicans is a trip back to Mexico because they thought they were being deported. So nobody wanted to win the game show. We had the worst prize in history for our audience. It's a great prize in English. You know, it's the trip to Puerto Vallarta. But here for us, it was the worst prize. No one wanted to win. People got scared. They thought the game was sponsored by INS. And they absolutely were terrified. So it made me laugh, and it shows you sometimes how, you know, you take something for granted in one culture, and then in another, you sort of say, oh, wow, we've got to revisit this. So.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes, it was
absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, very few people know that story. So.
Oh, good heavens.
It was pretty funny because the look of terror on their face.
See, I would be more terrified for you being the host because, you know, I'm also a pathetic watcher of Bridezillas, and sometimes those Latina women being Bridezillas, I mean, I don't know, a mad Latina is a very frightening thing to me. They can go very violent very fast, and they can take their man. I mean, they are sincerely strong, driven women. They will cut you.
Oh, a Latina woman? Oh, I'm scared of Latina women, honey. I told you, I am now the judge on a reality show. It's called Model Latina. It's a competition show where basically we are trying to find a Latina supermodel. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there judging 16 Latina women. I was scared I was going to get cut at any time. One of them was going to put out the shank when I would eliminate them. And I was like, oh, no, because you do not want to eliminate a Puerto Rican woman from a reality show, because that ain't pretty.
Oh, no.
Because they're like, oh, no, baby, let me tell you something. You did not eliminate me, okay? I'm going to show you who's the Mara Latina. And yeah, I know. I'm going to get in trouble for
hilarious.
This. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not send your letters to me. Please send them to Victoria, because since she's not here, let's throw it all on her.
Absolutely. You know what? It's her fault, because she should have been here supervising. But
exactly. She let the inmates run the asylum.
Never let the child drive the car. But Model Latina, is that part of the Tyra Banks franchise at all? Because I know it's on Nouveau Television. So
where did
that come from?
No, you can't. No, I didn't hear you. What did you say? Huh?
Nouveau.
No. It's a show that's very similar to that, to be quite honest with you. It's a great show. But the whole purpose of the show is because there really isn't a lot of representation for these young Latina women in this business, Nouveau TV, which was formerly CTV, decided to have a competition show that's sort of aspirational. So you get these 16 young, sophisticated Latinas, and we sort of mold them and transform them through the judges' advice. There are three judges on the panel, and we each have our varying levels of expertise and our areas of expertise, rather. And we sort of mold them, and the transformation is quite spectacular because you see some of these girls are rough when they first start. And then as they end the competition, they've blossomed into these beautiful models. And, you know, a couple of them won as one of the prizes, you know, a spread in Latina magazine. And the winner gets a contract with Q Model Management in New York and $20,000. So, you know, for a young Latina woman who doesn't have – you know, necessarily other venues, this is a really good place to sort of find representation. And I'll tell you, I never imagined that I was going to be a judge on the reality show, but it was a lot of fun. But it's very similar to the show that you mentioned, you know.
Right. You're currently still taping that, right?
We have finished taping, and I actually know who won, but I'm not allowed to say.
Yeah, because you'll be killed.
I will be killed. I will be killed. But I will tell you, yeah, because that's how they do these kinds of shows. But it's a lot of fun. You know, it really, really is.
Do you get to see, like, the dailies and stuff? Because I know they're being filmed 24/7 and stuff. Do you get to see any of that? Or are you basically just there for judging the competitions and doing the announcements at the end of the show? How much of that background information do you get to see?
We don't get to see a whole lot because they're doing it on the fly and as it happens. What you do get to see is the judges. I mean, they do tell you, hey, when this young lady was at the photo shoot, she was a pain in the butt. And we asked, all three of the judges were really, really involved, and we actually very much cared about each of the women. So we would ask, we're like, how did she do? How was her behavior? What's going on with her in the house? Is she getting along with the girls? I call out in one of the girls, you know, they were on a photo shoot, and one of them started creating trouble. And I said, I don't like it. Don't do it. It's unprofessional. It's not becoming of a young woman. You do that kind of stuff in the real world, you're going to get a reputation and you won't get jobs. So cut that nonsense out. So we do, you know, every judge was different, but I did ask a lot because I wanted to make sure that they were okay. You know, they are stuck in a house and you know, the producers, they're not allowed contact with the outside world because, you know, you don't want information leaking out. You don't want so they're stuck there, and they're there to compete, and their focus is all this. And we also, as part of this show, unlike other shows, we gave them a lot of classes. It wasn't just, we gave them modeling class, runway class, walking class. So there was a lot to it. It's fun. I mean, I will tell you, it's on Nouveau TV. It's every Monday night at 10, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, and then again at 10 and 1. And it's really fun. I really enjoyed myself. I never, ever imagined that I would be doing this kind of thing, but it was a kick in the pants.
Yeah. Well, you know, honey, you're also one of the people – I think ever really to be on a Spanish television show and an English television show at the same time on the air.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you know what? It really is. It struck me the other day when I was just talking to my peeps, I was like, holy crap, you know, we have a show on in English, The Model Latina, and a show on in Spanish, Hogar Express, at the same time in two languages. And, you know, it's something Ryan Seacrest can't do. So, hey, Ryan Seacrest, suck it.
Thing.
No, I'm just trying to play.
Suck it, man, absolutely.
you know, it's great to be that way. I mean, I really, really, really appreciate that my parents, ever since I was, you know, a wee little lad, that they really, you know, taught me the importance of learning Spanish, of speaking Spanish, of, you know, I said this today, you know, and there's a great website called Being Latino did an interview on me that's online right now. And they said, why is being bilingual so important to you? And I said, well, otherwise I would never have had a meaningful relationship with my grandparents. They would have been just some old people that I lived with that, you know, ate spicy food, drank Cuban coffee, watched really dramatic people on television, and gave me $20 every Christmas in an envelope. And that's not who they are to me. They were a very, very important part of my life, and I'm glad that I was able to communicate with them in their language. And you know, from an economic standpoint, it's been great for me as an adult. I've been able to work both in English and in Spanish. So as I was thinking about it, I was like, wow, wait a minute. I do have a show on in English and one on in Spanish at the same time, and that's pretty cool.
It's pretty big, buddy. It really is. It's quite cool. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Alex Cambera on At Home with Victoria. I want to give mention to the chat room. My call-up, my brother from another mother, is producing chat tonight. Feel free to go ahead and actually post your questions in chat. Or if you actually want to chat with Alex himself, our call-in number is 718-664-9364. That's 718-664-9364. I want to give a shout-out to Sandy at Sea, Parthenia, and Mr. Stephen McGraw. But what would be your utopia? Let's say, for example, Alex Cambert can have anything he wants regarding television career-itis. What would that be?
You know what? I had it once before in a form. I had my own late-night talk show, and I would love to have a talk show again. I would do it a little differently. I don't know if it would be a late-night talk show. I think it might be sort of an Ellen-style, maybe daytime talk show. You know, fun with one guest, and I'd like to have it be a little bit more bilingual, but mostly in English. I'd love to be able to introduce to the American public some wonderful Latino talent and artists and singers that normally don't get a chance on, you know, the major traditional broadcast networks. And, you know, there are a lot of these singers and artists that speak English, and, you know, and even the ones that speak Spanish are, you know, really worthy of being out there and being known, but they're just relegated to Spanish language TV, which is huge. But I'd like to, you know, see something where we mix the cultures a little bit more, and where it's not just either Spanish or English, that maybe it's a little bit of both.
Absolutely. And if you have any talent like that hanging around that you would like to go ahead and get the word out on this little internet radio show, I mean, I certainly know someone you can talk to. That's why I like supporting the indie artists up here on the East Coast, because so many of them are so talented, and so few of them have a voice. So few of them have the connections to even get any type of airplay. So yeah, by all means, I'm all for mixing everything up. There's some fantastic Latino artists out there right now. Who are you listening to that you find pretty fantastic in the form of music?
Oh, wow. You threw me a curveball there. I mean, I go all over the place. I mean, I will listen to a Lady Gaga, even though I think she's gone cuckoo. I mean, did you see her dressed as the man? She looked like Andrew Dice Gay to me. You know, I was like, I didn't quite get it. I thought it was a little bit overboard. But I love a lot of the stuff of, like, you know, Shakira. I love old school Aretha. I love Gladys Knight. I love Stevie Wonder. That's kind of the stuff that I almost always gravitate towards. I love the Michael Bublé's of the world and things like that. But my tastes are absolutely all over the place, because I just want to hear good music that I like and things that are lyrical. There's a great jazz artist that I love. Her name is Nicole Henry, who has just a silky, smooth voice. So her name is Nicole Henry, and she does a lot of the standards. you know, the Great American Songbook, and she's just very, very smooth and silky, and I really, really like her. There are two kids from Mexico who I love, who were on my late night talk show. Their name are Jesse and Joy. They're brother and sister, and they've got this sort of Carole King, James Taylor vibe to them.
Delicious.
And it's really, really good, and it's in Spanish. One of their songs is called Espacio Sideral, and I love it. It's really, really good. So, you know, I really go all over the place. Again, I don't necessarily stick to English or Spanish. There's a woman in France who I love. Her name is Lara Fabian. She's fantastic. She has a song called Je T'aime, which is just a powerful declaration of love, and it's basically, you gonna love me, motherfucker, because I'm gonna make you. and I was like, all right now. So it's she's really great as well.
Great. Well, you can start posting all this stuff on your Facebook page now, because now you are social network connected. You know, I see you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter and everything. So how's getting used to the social networking pace? Because if you're really playing it, boy, you can really tie up a lot of time.
It is absolutely time exhausting and time consuming and all that sort of stuff. But I like it. You know what? I just joined Twitter about a month ago. And the reason I did it was, I have a lot of jokes that I say and write, and I just usually keep them to myself or wait until I'm on TV. But the way that production works, it takes forever. And then sometimes things get edited out, and, you know, for time or whatever, it's not appropriate. So I decided, you know what, if anybody needs a joke, they need a laugh, you know, I'll tweet a joke. And I tweet a couple jokes a day. They're topical. I don't know if you've seen any of them.
I follow you, Camper.
That's very scary. Should I put you to the test?
It is scary because I do follow.
Okay, should I put you to the test?
Put me to the test.
What have I said?
Let's go to Ernie and Bert weren't gay, they were lesbians.
Yes, I
One
said
of the
Ernie
funniest
and Bert.
Things I've heard in a long time.
I said Ernie, yes, because that whole thing a couple weeks ago when they came out, I think the tweet was, Ernie and Bert aren't gay, they're lesbians. Come on. They've worn the same outfits for 25 years.
Correction. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I also have my Bert Reynolds denies he has a facelift. Meanwhile, Kirstie Alley denies she's fat. Regis denies he's old. And the sun denies it's hot. I like
yes.
that one, too.
Thank you.
And the Dutch
well, because Bert Reynolds,
too.
I mean, have you seen him? Bert Reynolds said, he came out and he said, I haven't had a facelift. I mean, I'm not saying he's pulled too
yeah.
tight, but he crosses his legs and his mouth snaps open. I mean, come on. Cannonball
yeah.
run. Cannonball ran away. I mean, but anyway. So what I do is just like that. I mean, I tweet. You know, it's gotten me thinking about 140 characters or less. And I tweet, you know, one that I wrote the other day that someone stopped me on the street. And I was like, oh, my God. It was Kanye wants to be the godfather of Beyonce's baby. Unless, of course, Taylor Swift has one first, in which case he'll steal that baby and just give it to Beyonce. And some of them are funny. Some of them are naughty. Some of them are, oh, I can't believe he said that. But, you know, again, follow me on Facebook if you want to laugh. I mean, on Twitter, follow. It's really simple. It's The Alex Cambert. You know, one word, C-A-M-B-E-R-T. And it's just basically to make people laugh, and it's a way to connect with the audience in a more immediate way. And, you know, I write jokes there because I think we need it, man. Everything is so
yeah.
serious and so,
yeah, yeah,
and times are so tough. And, you know, when you look at the unemployment rate and whatever, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to tweet a couple jokes. And also I put it on my Facebook page. You can find me there, Alex Cambert.
Cool beans. Yeah, you're so right with things being so heavy. I know the president is on television, I believe. I don't even know if he's still on or he was chatting about something on there. And unfortunately, I'm a person that is just like, I've had enough, so I'm just going to have to, you know, not watch for a while. Inside my house, it's a nice area. I don't want to live with my head in the sand, but quite frankly, it's just too much if you go ahead and pay attention and watch every piece of information. But Alex, my friend, I know you're pressed for time, and I don't want to go ahead and run you late. One question from the chat room is, what do you do to relax? What are your hobbies, my friend?
I don't have hobbies anymore. Can you believe it? It's really, honestly, I listen to music, I go to the gym, and I love what I do. I get to make people laugh every day of my life, and I love it. So, you know, really, this whole, the hobby is how do I take whatever talent I may or may not have and try to use it in different ways and different forms. You know, I love movies. I'm a movieaholic. I watch about a movie a night. I'm not huge on the reality TV and the Snookies of the world. I mean, I can't take Snooki and those people. I mean, I think as far as Snooki is concerned, my smartphone is smarter than she is. The, you know,
and
so
she has
a
book. Can you believe that?
She has a book. She's going to have a clothing line, and she has a scent out. She's going to have a scent. I mean, what's it called?
Yeah.
Crap? I mean, I can't take.
And it smells like stale thong and cheese doodles.
That's just gross. That's
I know.
Just gross.
Sorry. See, Vic isn't here. This is totally her fault. I'm blaming this on her.
I know. They should, you see, Victoria, this is what happened. But seriously, I mean, Snooki has a scent. That's what it's come to. You know, I'm one of the few people, I don't really keep up with the Kardashians or any of that sort of stuff. At the end of the day, I love to watch movies. I love creative people. I go to concerts. You know, one of my big things, I love dinners with friends where we can, you know, have a little bit of wine because wine never hurt nobody, okay? And, okay, because Papa needs his wine at the end of the day. It's okay. No, but seriously, you know,
right.
I really like to unwind with a bottle of wine and my friends and good conversation and just do exactly what it is that you guys do, you know,
yeah.
For a living. You just have conversation with good, decent people.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet life, and we have a lot in common. Mr. Alex Kembert, I can't thank you so much for being on with us tonight. From the bottom of my heart and Victoria's, you're a funny man and you're a good friend, and we're always on your side, my friend, I guess is what I want to say. You're a great man, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. Well, where are you off to now? You have to bolt off to some fancy Hollywood meeting?
It's just a meeting about what my next potential move will be. I'm really thinking of some fun stuff online, and we're just trying to figure out how to do that because, like I said, I think that's the way to go, putting stuff online, giving it, having the audience give it immediate feedback, having it go viral. So I'll come back soon and tell you what we're working on, but that's sort of the next thing. I've done TV for 20 years. I love it. I'm grateful. I will continue to do TV, but I want to explore some other avenues. And how to maybe make that work as well. That being said, I want to play one more time. Say the name of the... Whoa! I don't know what happened there. I want you to say the name of the Latino show one more time. Can you do it? Let's see. We're going to play Wheel of Latino. Michael, are you with me?
I am. I am with you on Fox's Hotelissima Network, Hogar Express.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. 200 points on Wheel of Latino.
I'll
thank you very much. Say hi to Victoria for me.
I certainly will, buddy. You're a great man. Love you tons. You have a safe night.
Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that was Alex Kembert, I tell you. Funny, and even funnier than funny. I mean, the man is a mess. Love him tons. Anywho, want to make a special announcement right now. Parthenia Warford is in the chat room right now, and actually the Warford Foundation's Golf Charity Classic, it was supposed to be on October 15th, is now canceled. We're still going to have a cocktail party, and there's rumored, I haven't had a firm commitment yet from Scott Carey, that will actually be there singing the song that he has dedicated to the Warford Foundation. You can find out more about the Warford Foundation at www.warfordfoundation.org. But Scott Carey was a guest on the show a little while ago and brought with us Heroes Highway. So this is not on his new album, Road to Nashville, I believe. I believe this is just for the foundation. But I wanted to go ahead and give it another play. Everybody, this is Scott Carey with Heroes Highway.
He got the call today. He said he's gone away. Deploys for duty at 6 a.m. packs his bags to fly away. Hugs his mom and says, Rangers lead the way. And he's gone again. You know heroes are far few. They give their lives sometimes. It's what they do. Now he's walking on hero's highway. And if I had it my way, he'd still be here. He gave it all for the country he loved, for a purple heart and a home in heaven above. He's taking the sky away. That's Heroes Highway. His mama already knew those men showed up in blue. Her baby wasn't coming home. But a hero's job is never done. 'Cause now he's watching us from above. Walking on Heroes Highway.
I met him through Marilyn Bennett, who's not here. She's at Connor's football game. But Corey Frizzell has quite a name for himself. He is considered Nashville royalty. He's a fantastic artist and really is representing, again, now some of the finest talent up in Nashville. Corey Frizzell is with us. Corey, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for your patience. Sorry we ran a little over.
Hey, Michael, I just appreciate you having me. I appreciate the interest. It's my pleasure, for sure.
My pleasure, buddy. So let's start at the beginning, buddy. I don't know you at all. I just know of your stellar reputation. So walk us through the beginning lives of life of Corey Frizzell.
Oh, man, how much time do we have?
We have 57 minutes left, my friend.
Well, I don't want to bore everybody, but, you know, of course, I come from about 50 years of country music history, being the nephew of Lefty and David Frizzell. And there was actually and then my dad, of course, Alan Frizzell. Most people think he was the third singing Frizzell brother, but he was actually the fourth. There was my Uncle Billy was in there right after Lefty. I think they were only about 3 years apart, and he was there with Lefty in the beginning from the late 40s, early 50s. And he had a record deal, and he wrote several things that Lefty cut also. My dad Alan, he was the last one to come along. He was 22 years younger than Lefty and 10 years younger than David. I think he was an accident, but that he came along and was the last one of the brothers to sing, and he was the Frizzell married to Shelley West. A lot of people think it was Uncle David, but it was Dad, and of course Shelley was the daughter of Dottie West. So that's kind of a music lineage out there. But grew up in that family, and you know, for years heard the Frizzell songs, the Frizzell name, and Frizzell this and that. That's all I ever heard growing up. So I actually decided to kind of go a different route early on, and try to create my own name and my own shadow. So that's what I did. But hello?
All right, go ahead and call back in. It's 718-664-9364, everybody. All right? Thanks, buddy. I'll see you soon. Hi, everybody. It's me. I lost power. Lost power in the entire house. So I lost power, lost internet. Anyways, I'm just on the phone with Corey Frizzell. He's calling back in. I do want to go ahead and thank you for going ahead and staying with us. I hope you're still there. I hope you didn't lose something, too. I hope it wasn't just a big glitch going on. But we're just waiting for Corey Frizzell to go ahead and call back in. And I do see that my call-up is still there. Parthenia has lost us. And I want to say hi to guest 5079. Guest 6490 and Stephen McGraw. But once again, let's have a little bit of Corey Frizzell. Hey, Corey, how are you? Thanks. I don't know. Maybe it's Lefty not wanting to go ahead and have the stories being told of his life. Who knows?
I don't know. You know, the Frizzell joke is always late. You know, so got to make everything late.
Absolutely. So let's talk about boxing. I mean,
yeah.
Family full of singers, and you went the boxing route. How did that come about?
Well, you know, of course, my family, there's something about, seems like most music people either like Mexican food and boxing, it seemed like, you know. But my family were big fans of boxing, and of course I always was. And I was kind of an aggressive kid anyways, you know. I wasn't a bully or anything or picked fights, but, man, if there was ever an opportunity to get in one, I probably was the first one there. So, but I started late. I started, you know, most successful fighters would start, you know, anywhere from 6, 7, 8 years old. But I started pretty late, you know, in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And took that route and boxed for about 10 years. And was a four-time champion, won a couple Golden Gloves, and had a real good, nice career, and thought I was going to do that forever, you know, but that's just not the way it worked out. So, you know, by the time I was done with boxing, I retired, and after about a year, I was like, you know, what am I going to do now? I'm still young, and so I went into the art and into the kind of came full circle, went into the music side, so. But boxing is definitely a big part of my life. It's really how I defined myself for many years. So,
yeah, I mean, being a Golden Glove boxing champion, I mean, how many hits did you take to the head, buddy? I mean, that's 10 years of being smacked around. That's a tried and true problem.
Well, actually, again, I was a successful fighter, so I didn't get hit that much. Yeah, I actually fought through 4 different weight classes and was actually a pretty heavy hitter and big and tall for my weight classes that I fought in. So I didn't really take a lot of punishment. And in 10 years, I'd never even been knocked down. So it was a good career. So I mean, you look at pictures, you don't see much wrong with my face. That's usually a good indication. So.
How many fights do you think in 10 years you did?
I had 61 fights. I had 61 fights and 5 losses, 4 championships.
Wow. Who knew? Well, you're my buddy in a back alley is what you are. Were you drawing at this time too as an outlet?
Well, you know, I always did it, I guess, for a hobby, never for a profession or too serious. It's just I think of everything I do, that's probably the most natural thing. I've been doing that since very little, for as long as I can remember. So, yeah, I just always, you know, here and there on the side, got a little bit more serious with it after, towards the end of my boxing career and of course, after.
Now, you've done George Jones, Randy Travis, Brad Paisley, Alan Jackson, a ton of others, but you don't only do famous. You do the everyday Joe who wants to go ahead and get their portrait done by you.
Yeah, I'm a commission artist, and that's really how I started. I have an aunt, Betty, that was a portrait artist, and she kind of inspired me to draw people. You know, as a kid, of course, I did cartoons and got into comic book art, and I used to look at her stuff and just think, man, how does somebody draw someone that looks so real like that? And always wanted to do that. So by the time I was trying to, you know, discover a new path, I thought, well, I'll start doing portraits. And being a commission artist, you know, and to this day I can be commissioned by anyone, but I've done many kids. I've done portraits for funerals, couples, military, many, many different things. But quickly, I guess in about late 2005 and 2006, I started being called on in the music industry to do portraits for these legends and stars and some of the biggest hit writers out there. You know, I really don't create a portrait of anybody famous just for the heck of it. I don't do that. So I guess if you want to call them celebrity portraits that I've done has actually been for that artist himself or for his family. So.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and take a look at Corey's art, you can find him at www.coreyfrizzell.com. That's FRIZZELL. You can also find a lot of his boxing stuff, and he has you got a blog up there that's actually quite nice. And you put us on the front page of your blog. I mean, I thought that was very kind of you, my friend.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all even being interested in my story. What's that?
You are interesting, my friend.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's very good. It's always good. It's always good to have people wanting to hear your story. Let's go a bit into your you're doing web art too. You've got the cover of which magazine again?
Well, kind of how it, you know, it happened is I guess I'll back up a little bit. I started doing all these portraits and of course I've, like you said, I've done, you know, portraits for Willie Nelson, Randy Travis, Mark Chestnut, Brad Paisley, Alan Jackson, Gene Watson. I've done several for George Jones, Henry Paul, Blackhawk, and so that was kind of my main thing, was doing these portraits, and then I started getting, I guess, international recognition in a lot of the country music magazines, from Country Weekly to Country Home in Germany, Country News in Canada. Several of them in Holland and Netherlands, and started getting all this different exposure for working with these stars and some of the projects I had. And then I quickly became named Artist of Stars here in Nashville for that. But then I decided to kind of go down the road and start doing some graphic design and website design. And of course, I haven't been schooled for any of that stuff, so I really just take a 100% creative direction with it, and just kind of do it my own way, do things my own way, and learn on my own. So, but I partnered with Nashville Music Guide Magazine, which is distributed in, of course, here in Nashville is where they're based, in Canada and Texas and Oklahoma and Mississippi. And I did about 6 of their covers, no longer doing it, but I did that for a while and had a good time with that. But then went on to doing websites. I'm working on country star Ken Mills, the old Jukebox Junkies website right now. And I did Gerald Smith's website and a lot of other artists' websites. And so things around this house are definitely diverse and interesting. You know, I may do some graphic design or website design. I may sit at the drawing table. I produce shows, and I'm a songwriter myself, so I may do something with that. But I still dabble in the fight game too. So I actually train an 8-time world MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu champion twice a week. And so I still go in there and do anywhere from 5 to 10 rounds twice a week sparring. So,
jeez.
So yeah, it's definitely something different every day. But that keeps
you
it,
can
you know
you can be the bodyguard for some of the talent you're representing. Now, is it true you've gone into representation?
Yeah. Actually, I don't necessarily have a management firm or anything, but there's a couple artists I'm working with that I just truly believe in, and
can you give us their name?
So, well, one of them is Chris Caskey. You can check him out at chriscaskeymusic.com, and he has a Facebook fan page at facebook.com/ChrisCaskeyMusic.
How do you spell Caskey?
Absolutely one of the most talented artists I've heard in my life, and hopefully we're actually cutting. We have a single on the radio right now called God's Pocket that was written by Michael White, who also wrote The Baby for Blake Shelton, and he wrote this song, and it sat around for 10, 12 years, and had Chris cut it, and we released it to radio through Double E Promotions, one of the leading country and gospel radio promoters. And the song actually crossed over to the country gospel side. You know, it's a popular country song. It's not really a religious song, but it's reached as high as 52 in the top 100 in the nation. So it's still out there on the charts, and we're cutting the rest of the album right now with famed producer Carson Chamberlain. I don't know if you know much about him, but he's definitely a number one producer in town.
I said I don't, but I'm writing his name right down right now. How do you spell Chris Caskey? How do you spell his last name? Is it K-A-S?
Yeah, no, it's C-A-S-K-E-Y.
There we go. Wanted to get that spelling right.
Yeah.
I see Mike Colop has it up in the chat room. Who is the other one that you found really good interest in?
Well, I'm working with Ken Mellons, actually. And,
oh, really?
Ken... My family go way back. He was really heavily influenced by Lefty, and you know Ken had a couple hit records with Sony, his biggest hit with the Jukebox Junkie, and he's worked with my family for years, and again being influenced by Lefty, and so I've been a fan of him myself, and always loved his music and believed in him, and. Have recently had the opportunity to do some things with him, so I jumped at it. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. But.
Great. Now you're also working with Henry Paul actually on a children's project.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Well, Henry and I became friends, and we've been doing some stuff together, and he actually wrote a children's book, and he kind of. Got wind of my art and saw some of the stuff that I was doing and thought it would be a perfect fit for me to illustrate the book. So we actually, did that. And we did the first chapter. And, of course, Henry's one of the most busy people I know. You know, he's the lead singer, founder of The Outlaws. If you remember the old Southern rock group? And the lead singer, founder of Blackhawk, and they had a ton of country hits. So he actually still does both tours with both groups. He has a production artist development outfit that he deals with several artists, and so he's pretty busy. So the book deals with one of our side projects. But and just as a side note, I have a show called Lyrics for Lyric that we do. I know we'll talk a little bit more about it here later, but we just confirmed Henry and Blackhawk today to be on the September 20th show. So I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, I saw that. I was so happy for you, buddy.
Yeah, I've been trying to get Henry to do this show for about 6 months, but he's pretty busy. So.
Yeah, no, I know he is. Let's talk about your two lovely daughters, Hayden and Lyric. I saw you were posting that Hayden made the top 10 in her pageant, and Lyric's pageant is actually this Saturday, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Lyric, honey. I hate to go into this, but I've been following your posts, and the amount of prayers that Steve and I have sent you and Lyric over the time is a lot. If only silent. But I just didn't know how it's such a tough time when your child's sick. And tell us about Lyric's story.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say, man, I appreciate y'all being interested in her story, and I don't mind talking about it. I think you know, it's a story that needs to be told. You know, one thing that I personally believe is that, you know, the Lord has allowed it to happen for a reason. You know, whether I get to know why or not, the fact is He's allowed it to happen for a reason. So, but Lyric, you know, it's kind of interesting. Back when I was 15 years old, I said, if I ever have a daughter, I want to name her Lyric, or the right opportunity, I'd name her Lyric. And 18 years later, she came along and named her Lyric. And so, in honor of my music heritage, and you know, not with any intent that she's going to be in music or be musical, but ironically, she's the most musical kid in the house. So, but anyway, at 10 months old, she got sick and she got diagnosed with a very rare aggressive form of AML leukemia, and I guess to give you an idea, it's AML leukemia is typically found in elderly people, and only about 500 children in the world a year will get it. If you ever come across somebody who, you know, adult says, yeah, I had leukemia as a kid, you know, they probably have what was called ALL. Even my cousin Lefty's granddaughter had ALL leukemia. She's a grown adult with children and fine now. But this AML leukemia, again, it's mostly found in elderly, and there were seven subforms of it. And when she was diagnosed finally, she is now the new, never before documented eighth subform. So her form of cancer they've never ever seen before. So it's, you know, it's one thing to have to deal with your baby having cancer, but then the only known case is just unfathomable, you know, because you don't have, at that point, you have nothing to go by. No plan of recovery, percent of recovery, no plan of treatment, nothing. So, but she got sick at 10 months old simply with a mild temperature and was kind of getting a little lethargic. And took her to the pediatrician. It was actually on my birthday, July 28th. And instead of going to celebrate the birthday, we took her to the pediatrician and kind of insisted that they do some blood work instead of just shipping us out with some prescription or something. We really wanted to know what was wrong. And they actually thought their machine was broke. Her white cell count was so high. So we were there about 3 hours, and they finally told me, said, look, man, it's my birthday. We're gonna get out of here and get something to eat. Just call us. Tell us what's going on. And right when, I don't know, an hour or so later, we got a call, and they told us that they actually thought their machine was broke. They didn't really want to scare us, but they thought that we were dealing with cancer, Nate, and we needed to get to Vanderbilt immediately. And we raced there, and I tell you what, they were waiting at the door. We didn't wait. No paperwork, no nothing. They shipped us right back to the emergency and started hooking her up to stuff. And, you know, and sure enough, they confirmed that she didn't have cancer. And just to give you an idea, when a baby is diagnosed with cancer, a baby her size should have had anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 white cells in her body. And when a child is typically diagnosed with cancer, they'll have somewhere around 150,000 white cells. So you can see how it's trying to take over and actually kill them. But Lyric had over 365,000 white cells in her body. And that's why they thought the machine was broke, because they had not seen it so high. And when we got the Vanderbilt and they confirmed it with that information, they knew, with a count like that, they knew that they were dealing with something really rare and really aggressive. So they immediately put her on a blood dialysis, and they were able to get her white count down to about 60,000. And anything over 50,000, you have a high chance of stroke. So it's still dangerous, but a lot better. But by the next day, she was already back up to 120,000. So, again, they knew it was pretty aggressive. So they actually sent us up to the cancer pod, and immediately put her on chemo, even though we didn't know what we were dealing with. So, and it took a couple months to get an actual diagnosis. Most kids will get a diagnosis in a week, but they, spent that time researching medical journals and visiting with the oncology board and just trying to figure out what we were dealing with before they finally realized it's the only known case. So that's kind of how it all started and it went down.
How frustrating as a parent, too, especially with it being such an undiagnosed disease. Where do you even look for information? I mean, you can cross-check all of the oncology reports in the world, and you wouldn't probably end up finding out direct information with that. Now, she was diagnosed at 10 months?
She got sick at 10 months old, but it took a couple months to get it. We knew she had cancer, but to get an actual official diagnosis, it took a couple months. And, I moved right there in the hospital. I moved right in Vanderbilt and lived right there with her in the room and lived there for 6 months while she underwent 5 rounds of chemo, pretty heavy chemo.
Mm. What kind of chemo do they give a baby? The regular kind of chemo? I mean,
I didn't know anything about cancer before this happened. Of course, when it hits so close to home, you start to learn real quick. I thought radiation was chemo and chemo was radiation and didn't know leukemia was cancer. But anyway, yeah, there's so many forms of chemo. There really is. But some of them were typical. But what they did, being that she was so unique, they just put together a great team, and they just sat down and from month to month just tried to make the best educated decisions on what to do. And one particular month, they sat us down, and we had to have this long discussion about this particular chemo she was going to have. And I'll never forget it, because they walked in the room with, it would look like maybe a pint of blood, but it was blue liquid in there, a little bit of blue liquid. It looked like Kool-Aid. And they said, this chemo is very, very serious, but we really think that she really needs to have it at this stage. And they said that if you all have to make the decision. If you make the decision that she has this chemo, you also need to know the repercussions of it. And she has, by taking the chemo, she can, of course it goes on her record, she can never have that chemo ever again in her lifetime, if she's ever sick again, and it has a really high chance of destroying her heart down the road. So that's one of those things, you're just faced with, and you're just, you're grabbing at anything to get any kind of results. So now she'll have to have a full heart exam every year for the rest of her life to kind of monitor that. But, we went ahead and made the decision to do that. Proceed with that chemo. So,
yeah. Buddy, I'm so sorry to hear that. I want to go quickly to the chat room and stuff. Question from the chat room. How can we help Lyric? Can we make contributions? Where can we make contributions? Great question.
Lyric actually has a website at lyricforzale.com, and there is a donation button, and actually someone made it aware to me that the site is temporarily down for some reason, so I need to check into that and get it right back up.
Okay.
But you can make an online donation, a PayPal donation. That's on there. And again, that's lyricforzale.com.
Right. No problems up in the chat room, buddy. Go ahead. Go, buddy.
I'll finish the story with where we're at with her. She's after the 6 months of being there, the 5 rounds of chemo, she's actually in what's called a partial remission, which simply means that she's responded well to the chemo. So that's great news, right after the course of chemo, they told us that she's got a real high chance of a full relapse over the next 2 years. And we just recently passed the 1 year out of treatment and everything's still looking positive. But after that chemo, we've basically been visiting the Vanderbilt Cancer Clinic every month to continue on with checkups and scans and whatever else. But we have to do that for another 3.5 years. So we have another just under a year of a high chance of a relapse. And then if we can ultimately reach that overall 5-year mark without a relapse, then they'll declare her in full remission.
Yeah.
So
well, that's, keep praying for that. That's for sure.
Yeah, buddy. Absolutely. Because it's, you know, it's a tough deal. You know, we just take it day by day and month by month, and just, you know, just because you're at that stage of your treatment, visiting the clinic does not mean that you're out of the water by no means. Matter of fact, we just another little boy, another 4-year-old, just passed away last week. It was really at kind of in the same stage Lyric was, visiting the clinic and then had a relapse and some complications and passed last week. So that was really difficult. You know, anything can happen overnight. So we just continue to pray that.
Yeah.
So
be so thankful that Lyric is one of the success stories and stuff. I've also got a very, very good friend of mine, Debbie Tibbles, who lost her child to medulloblastoma at the age of 7, and and the kid was brilliant. It's always the kid is brilliant. He's never a pain in the butt or anything like that.
Yeah.
And Deb hit hard, but she's got a book out right now called All Aboard, How Ollie Tibbles Became a Train. And go ahead and pick it up on Amazon.com. But I want to go ahead and actually introduce you to Debbie, because she's a huge source of strength, not only for parents, but for me as well. She's a brilliant lady, so very kind, and there to help you out. So I'm going to go ahead and send you a friend request on Facebook for her, because she is so knowledgeable on everything childhood cancer that is
that.
It'll be a great asset. Yeah, you'll love her too. She's funny as hell. And she swears like a trucker, and I adore her. She's a huge friend of mine. But, on behalf of Victoria, myself, Steve, everybody in the chat, everybody listening, huge prayers going out to Lyric. You can go ahead and make donations at www.lyricfrizzell.com, and that's FRIZZELL.com. Go ahead and check it out. But let's lighten the mood a little bit. Let's tell people about your website, CoreyFrizzell.com. You can find everything there. You can find what you're doing there. You're on Twitter, are you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Facebook.
MySpace.
All over the place, So there's probably more on the Internet you care to know.
Well, honey, you're worth knowing, and I just want to sincerely extend the olive branch to if you've got some really good talents and want to go ahead and get them fired to the pipeline up here in the Delmarva region, please give them my name. We'd love to go ahead, and I love new talent. I love everything country, and I love I'm a big fan of the indie artists, but we're running out of time here, Corey. I want to thank you so much for taking the time tonight, and I want to I kick myself in the butt for the power going out, but if I could only control everything. But I do thank you, Corey. Let's not make this our last conversation. Make sure to come back.
No, let's do this again with me and my business partner. He's a bluegrass legend, Mark Newton. And let's come back on and let's talk about the Lyrics for Lyrics show. November coming up is our 1-year anniversary. And if I could just say a little bit about it real quick.
Please do,
We've established the Lyric for Sale Foundation, and we do this monthly music benefit show called Lyrics for Lyric. It was actually started by the Johnson family as a benefit for Lyric back in November of last year. And Mark and I have actually taken it over, and we co-produce it and have taken it to another level. And with the intention of raising money, first of all, what we're doing is we're creating a regular music show, ongoing show in Nashville, in Music City, utilizing the best of country, bluegrass, roots, and Americana music, and raising money for the Lyric for Sale Foundation, which will go to Vanderbilt for cancer, childhood cancer research. We've had several talks with Vanderbilt, and it looks like we're getting close to partnering up, and we just actually incorporated the Lyric for Sale Foundation and got it official, and so we're just a few steps away from that ultimate goal, and so a lot of exciting things going on. But our next show is September 20th, and it's got Jim Lauderdale on there, Blackhawk that's going to be on there. A couple surprise guests maybe, and Janae Flinner. So a lot of cool things going on with that. But we've had a lot of the stars and legends on that show in the last 11 shows. So it's an ongoing thing. But Mark Newton co-produces it with me, and he hosts it. So
fantastic. Any chance, any way artists can get involved with the Lyric Foundation? Can they just, for example, email you an MP3 and
absolutely. Like they can reach out to us on Facebook or at our website, all our contact information, either myself or Mark Newton. And, you know, again, the show is growing, and we have some really big things planned for it, and we're always looking for talent. So,
right. I'm posting it already, buddy. So,
all right.
Yeah. This will not be the last time we talk. And seriously, let's talk more on Facebook, buddy. I'm a huge fan. So happy with what you're doing.
I appreciate that.
No problem. Many, many, many huge prayers for you and Lyric and your family in Hayden, and I hope Lyric wins her pageant on Saturday. So,
hey, I appreciate
you're the best,
that.
My friend. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you
I hope
for
I
having
keep
me.
You too long, but yeah, we'll be watching out for you. Feel free to go ahead and check any of Corey Frizzell's links. Go to At Home with Victoria on my page, and also Michael K. At Home with Victoria will be posting it as well. So, Corey Frizzell, my friend. It was a pleasure meeting you, and I look forward to seeing you in the future.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it. All right.
You got it. Take care. You've been listening to Corey Frizzell on At Home with Victoria with Michael K., your entertainment co-host. Great show, everybody. A little glitch in the middle, but that's what happens. I want to thank everybody up in chat. I want to thank my call-up, my brother from another mother, guest 5079, guest 6490, Mar Ben, always tuning in, which is fantastic. Tune in. Victoria's got a show coming up, and let's just go ahead and say it's September 13th, and it's with Sonia Lowry. She's a travel show host, and I want to go ahead and close tonight with a song by another past guest, Tara Priest. Tara Priest, actually, is a fantastic young woman, again, hailing from the Nashville area. Amanda Moore from Synchronicity PR put me in touch with her and Scott Carey and leaked to me a little bit that they'll be working together in the very, very near future. And I think their voices are going to sound amazing together. But to close the show tonight, I want to end with Tara Priest's I Can't Hate You from her self-titled album. You can find her on Amazon.com and iTunes. So for Michael K. from At Home with Victoria, I want to thank you all for joining us tonight, and God bless everybody. This is Tara Priest with I Can't Hate You. Good night.
I hate the way you walk away without a single scar, and I feel you found somebody else. Yes, well, it's tearing me apart like we didn't mean nothing. Gone without I play the fool, taking up to you, and the way you told all your friends before I even knew that we were over. Do you know what that put me through? know that I still love you, and that's why I hate that I can't hate you.
At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.